Now we're talking. You crank this up. This is the king right here of country. Now that's my name.
Look, I'm running out of the
bullpen
of Wichita State.
All over town, putting out old flame. Come on, everyone. Everybody like to have a what I got. I can cool them down when they're smoking hot. I'm the fireman. That's my name. Play it, Jake. Here's the problem. We're not ending the song early. You don't do that to George Strait. T-Bird automobile. Come on. I can be just fit to kill. I work 24 on, 24 off. Just give me a call. I'm the fireman. I wish you would have walked to the mound of this song.
I did in college. That was the walk out of college,
you.
Yeah. Was this on Susan's playlist on the way back last night?
Hell yes. We drove separately, but I know she loves it.
Oh, there you go.
I love this song. I love George Strait.
So good. Priceless. Timeless. Timeless song. Thank you, Jake.
See, you play the whole song. What's wrong with that? How you doing, Bloomer?
I'm good.
Did you have fun at the tribute to Ron Cherry?
We did have fun. Always a good crew out there that night. No fireworks, as there were the year before, with some shenanigans and
no unexpected guests.
No. No Nacho Libre sightings.
No, we were
thank
okay.
God. Thank God.
It was good.
I didn't know what was happening last year when that was. If that was scripted,
no, it wasn't.
Well, I know it wasn't now, but at the time, before he even made his way to the stage last year, we were all kind of looking around like, "What?"
And we were backstage. I was with Chris, like, "What the hell's going on?
What is?" Well,
Steve, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I said, "Neither do I, Christian." So.
Now, good to catch up with some people that I hadn't seen in a while, and always a good...
Who'd you catch up with? Throw some names
out
there.
Oh, Red from Kelly's. Yeah. Get to see Red. Don't spend as much time at Kelly's as I did when I was a younger man. Bopping there a few times, but good to just sit and catch up with him a little bit. And Randy Winton and Bo Chez, that's on the board for Third and Long Foundation, will be playing in that golf tournament next Monday.
Good group of Chiefs alumni, former Chiefs players there.
Oh, outstanding. And I know last year with the draft being here and then that event culminating with Sunday, and then we actually played the Third and Long golf tournament Monday last year. So it was on and on and on. And so it's always that first Monday in May, so it's next Monday.
My favorite guy that shows up every year is DeBerg. No one can touch DeBerg. And then I know... Okay, that's a guy that won't get pissed off. I'll tell a couple of jokes about DeBerg. And he's just couldn't be nicer. And he shows up.
I had seen him the day before and had a couple beers with him. And he had a different shirt on from the same company. And it had Christian Okoye and another guy that was at the thing. So there were some people asking about it.
Right.
And Nick and Jake's on Saturday. So,
in the video, he was there, but he also did a video for for Duran. But in the video, he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, but with the faces of his grandkids on it. So there, he had a Hawaiian shirt, but with Christian Okoye and Duran Cherry's faces on it. And he's just, you know, he's the life of the party. And then when we're all done, and we were done auctioning everything off, we auctioned off... two Taylor Swift autographed guitars that went for $12,000 each. We
Bo Jackson jersey,
Bobby Bell jersey, Duran Cherry, Christian Okoye, replica Lombardi trophy. All these
Mahomes
great things.
Helmet.
Oh yeah, the Mahomes helmet. And so we were done, and Christian was getting ready to say his goodbyes, and here comes DeBerg, who's not scheduled to go to the podium, comes on stage, and he goes, "I got people over there telling me I should auction off my shirt."
I'll give credit. That was Shanna Watley.
Okay.
That was her idea. She's like, "You ought to auction that shirt off."
So
that
he goes
great.
Up there. I said, "Steve DeBerg is literally going to auction the shirt off his back." And so then he starts unbuttoning the shirt and opens it up. And he's wearing a 1980s style. Remember the shirts that were like the cartoon caricature of professional athletes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He opens it up and he's wearing his own shirt.
Amazing.
The T-shirt is a caricature. Let me show you. I got a picture of it.
I love those shirts. I had a bunch of those.
I said,
like
Steve.
Cartoon superhero
yeah.
shirt.
Yeah.
Steve, back up. Let me take a picture of this shirt. Look how happy he is. Describe the shirt that he's wearing right there.
Yeah, he's wearing his own caricature.
But look, it's got the finger, the pinky finger bandaged up. Right?
Yeah.
He ends up auctioning, and so then everyone sees that shirt.
They want it as well.
And they want that. So a guy out in the crowd ended up bidding $2,000, but he wanted both shirts, and he wanted DeBerg, Okoye, and Duron Cherry to sign all of them. And they
Done.
Did.
Absolutely.
And so then we had to find a shirt for Steve DeBerg to wear.
Or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so then and we had a room down there. And so Susan and I were leaving and walking back to the hotel. And here comes DeBerg walking down with another Hawaiian shirt.
Well, I saw him. After he had sold the T-shirt and his shirt,
yeah.
he was only wearing Christian's suit coat jacket.
Right.
For a while.
We had to put something on it.
So we got some funny pictures.
But then he
comes,
I can't remember who was on that shirt. Maybe it was him. I think he came down with
a
Hawaiian shirt. With his, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He went up to his room and got another Hawaiian shirt and put, with people's pictures on it. Steve DeBerg is the man.
Heck yeah.
So
he's funny, man.
It ended up being a great event and having Duron up there and being able to honor him and have him get up there and talk. It was great. It was awesome. So I'm glad you were there.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. Always a
you talked to my dad, dude.
I did. I get to talk to your dad earlier. I told a couple people the story of back when he and I first we had met, but we hadn't met quite like the second time we'd met, when I go in full hug and knock his hearing aid out and find out later on that I'm lucky I didn't get stabbed by him because he does not like anybody in
right.
his space.
He doesn't like to hug me.
Right. Well,
I go in to hug
him, I was unaware.
He leans away. I say, come here.
There was no avoiding it the first time.
And I'll kiss him on the cheek, and he'll get mad. He doesn't like it at all.
It's it's a handshake and distance thing with he and I now. We both get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a circle of grace
Correct.
That you must respect. Because, let's be honest, there was a fear that he would get shanked in the past.
I'm
and so
sure.
he doesn't want that. And he was, he was pissed off at me at the beginning. Because I told him we'd get down there early, and he met us up in the room, and we were hanging out. And so we're going to go right at 4, because that's when the cocktail hour, the VIP hour starts, and they're going to have some hors d'oeuvres and drinks and stuff. Okay. And so he didn't eat anything, and he got there at 4, and the food wasn't ready.
Behind, that's
Where's
right.
the food at? But it was, I didn't know the food wasn't going to be until 5.
Oh, okay.
I was, whatever. Right. Where's the food at? It's going to be, they're setting it up right now.
It will be ready. It will be.
And you say, I'm thinking, I said, well, and I go over there and I ask politely, I said, hey, I'm just asking for my dad. And my dad's like 10 feet away and he's, I'm diabetic. And I go, my dad just wants to know.
How's going to go?
I'm looking at these people like, please help
bring
me.
Him a snack.
Snack help me.
Bring a snack
please know
early.
That this is not me. This is. I'm being pressured. Tell him I'm diabetic. You hear him.
You hear that?
I don't have to tell you, right? I don't have to. Now everyone knows.
He made it.
And so we're standing there. I said, okay, we'll stand over here. And then at one point, the chef or whatever comes and he's waving at me. He goes, we're open it up. Come on. So, and we were over there. Boy, he was first. I haven't seen him move that fast in years. He got up there and he got a plate of meatballs and bacon wrapped shrimp and some chicken skewers, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
And so he had, and then after that,
round two.
And he was happy. And he went round two.
Yes, he did.
And he was very happy and he was very pleasant after that.
Yep.
So I'm glad he had a chance to hang out with my dad and spend some time with him. All right.
I missed out.
Yeah.
I missed out on a lot of stuff this weekend.
You're invited always.
I miss out on a lot of things.
The invite is always open to Nate Bucati and any of your family. You know that.
I think I will see you Friday night as well this week.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
Let me guess, you'll be out of time. Because the invite's open to you Friday.
We're going to Nashville. What's Friday night?
Dola White is headlining at Grinders.
'70s, '80s, '90s.
It's going to be Disco Dick and the Mirrorballs, the Zeros, and then Dola White. And so
FOMO will be at a 10.
And we'll be out there, and it's going to be, we're going to have a great time.
I'm torn because one of our fantasy camp guys, Bobby Kerr, is also playing at the Ameristar Casino with his Bob Jovi band.
Right.
He's also that night. But
don't be torn.
And Saturday, what do you got? You doing Kentucky Derby?
We're doing a little get-together for Phil's 21st. We're going to watch the Canelo fight.
I got you. We got the War Horses for Veterans Kentucky Derby parties.
What time is that going to be done?
That starts at 3:30. Starts early.
Okay.
Obviously, the Derby's pretty early, but that'll go late.
I'm going to be in an undisclosed location, so I could let you know where that is.
I will not be. No. We'll stay.
Jake, you're going to be there, right?
At the undisclosed
location? You have my 100% commitment.
Phil St. John demands it.
It's your 21st birthday.
You don't get that very often.
Because I said Uncle Jake is willing to. We're going to go through some gambling props on the Canelo fight, and he's very excited by that. So.
I'm the kid's godfather.
I didn't realize Canelo was fighting on
Canelito.
Right.
Against Jaime Munguia in a Mexican showdown.
Big day.
How about the Royals?
I was excited for Boland's first start. Kind of been following him. Just, he's been throwing the ball great in Triple
A. He was.
So I was excited to see. Excuse me, see him get an opportunity with Marsh being on the DL for probably one or two starts to see what he can do, just to see what kind of depth we're going to have, you know, beyond our five starters who've been throwing the ball pretty well. He just couldn't put a guy away last night. I mean, obviously, Turner's a professional hitter, got him on one mistake and got him on another. Actually, not too bad of a pitch, but just couldn't quite put guys away with two strikes. Man, that's the difference between a lineup down there in AAA versus a lineup in the big leagues. I mean, he'd been throwing the ball well down here, but, man, 1 through 6, 7 in this lineup is pretty damn good. And, you know, walked a couple guys. He'd only walked, I think, 4 guys in 4 starts down there. So he got himself in a little bit of trouble early. Kudos, bullpen kept us in it a little bit. We kept, you know, scratching away and had an opportunity late. I mean, there's going to be some arguments again why Bobby Witt hadn't stole well. Pasquantino was batting to get in scoring position for the single that Salvi came in and pinch hit and got a single and wasn't able to score him, and then Massey struck out to end it. So we were right there, but again, now another 3-game losing streak. I mean, we're a little bit hot and cold. So.
And today, Cole Reagans gets a chance.
Well,
I
got to thinking about that on the way in today. I mean, that's the guy. Cole Reagans is the guy. Now we're in a 3-game losing streak.
Reagan's Barrios again, so
that's another good matchup, and he's throwing the ball good, so it's going to be a tight one. So that's what we've got to be able to do is stay out of losing streaks. I mean, especially, you know, extended ones, which we've seen over the last couple of years that seems to stretch into 5, 6, 7 games. I would like to think that with as well as this rotation has thrown, somebody in this 5-man. You know, steps up and throws up a goose egg.
I'll be honest with you. The Royals' starting pitching, clearly it's not as red hot as it was earlier in the season, but I don't have a problem with it. It's still a good rotation, and I'm happy with the results. The bullpen has been uneven. Just, you know, Stratton had the terrible game on Saturday, but for the most part, You figured out some roles there, and I think that you could at least see enough to where they've got some guys that they can rely on. I mean, MacArthur, he's solid. Your guy Schreiber still has a .69 ERA, which we love. I've been really impressed with Angel Zerpa.
Oh, me too.
He's established himself. I think he's a guy that you can trust. Nick Anderson, after a rough start, has been good. The Rule 5 kid, Matt Sauer. The guys that just, you know, Stratton is all or nothing. He's got a .623 ERA. Will Smith needs to pitch well. He's got a ERA still over 10. And so those were two of the big free agent signings. If they brought them in to be two important parts of the bullpen, and if they can turn things around, then all of a sudden the bullpen is a hell of a lot better.
Well, and I think one of the things that we're going to have to keep an eye on, and I've talked about it, you know, in the last couple of weeks, is I think a lot of this bullpen, you know, except for the closer, I think he's kind of locked in MacArthur where he's at, is all about matchups too. But the question also is, if you see a guy and he throws an inning and he's good, Are you just going to let it ride?
Like on Saturday.
Correct.
Zerpa
yep.
comes in, throws a perfect inning, 9 pitches. They yank him, and then Stratton gets blown up. And so that's the question, right? If you see a guy out there that only throws 9 pitches, do you put him back out there, or do you stick with what your plan was and you go with Stratton and let him blow up the game?
Well,
that's what happened.
And that's a little bit of how you manage a bullpen. You got to, you know, the eye test versus maybe you look at matchups and who's coming up in the lineup and who's, you know, who's in there. Sometimes you get that feel of, what I just saw him do in those 9 pitches, he's pretty good. Let's roll with him. So I guess that's just a feel for it. And we're gonna find out throughout the course of the season, you know, how Quintero handles that bullpen in that regard. I mean, those questions, hopefully we don't keep asking those same questions, you know, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, because guys have settled into roles and they've been successful doing it. Now, as a whole, after that first week, everybody's been pretty good. I mean, a couple blow-ups here and there. Well, that happens to every team, you know. That's why it's always kind of a revolving door with guys in your pen and all that stuff is who's the hot guy in the pen that can come in. Most importantly, when you're going through that middle of the lineup, maybe that's in the sixth inning. It's not always, you know, at the end of the game, but it seems like those last three outs are always the hardest ones to get.
The bullpen could be better. The rotation's fine. Here's the problem. The offense. Okay, so I'm going to go through this. There's some ugly numbers here, and I want you guys to tell me what your level of concern is. And as Nate says repeatedly, it's early. But it's not as early as it was. Okay.
Getting less early.
we'll just go by position here, all right? Salvi, unbelievable.
Yeah.
OPS still at 1,000.
Sick.
You can't ask him to do anymore.
Gets scratched last night and still comes in and gets a base hit.
Right. I mean, he's
professional.
You can't ask for more, okay? First base, Vinny. He was off to the miserable start. Since then, he's been a lot better, but still overall, 694 OPS, 4 homers, 13 ribbies.
Super hot stretch in the middle, back
right.
to cold.
Right. But, you know, he's got to be better. Okay, but I'm not worried. I think he'll get
well,
there.
Well, anyone... anything, just get on base sometimes and let Salvi drive you in, you know, even if it's, you know, getting a walk. I mean, we want you to
overly concerned.
Power.
Concern? Okay. Go to second base.
I shook my head. That doesn't really work right. in radio. No, not concerned.
Michael Massey, he's the guy, but he missed most of the beginning of the season. But so far he's been back 9 games, 29 at-bats, 448 OPS. That ain't going to work. Adam Frazier, 527 OPS. That ain't going to work. Garrett Hampson, 478 OPS. That ain't going to work. None of that's going to work. You know who looked good when he was up here? Nick Lofton.
So that's the question. Do you keep going with some of the veteran guys, or do you go with one of the younger guys? I mean, we've still got...
And Lofton wasn't great, but he was better than what we've seen so far. Someone, they wanted to be Massey. You know, that's who it's supposed to be.
I wanted to be Massey.
But at this point, I don't. Somebody, whoever's playing second base ain't hitting, and they tried a variety of people there.
So I
am concerned.
I am now. I mean, I know I was a little worried because his first couple games on his rehab assignment didn't go well, and then actually he was swinging the bat pretty good when they came back. Sometimes on rehab assignment, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether they even have success on the rehab assignment. But they got their at bats, and let's get them back here to the big league level. I mean, I always. Keep an eye on that because that's about timing. I don't care if you're in AAA or here or wherever, you know, go out there and have some results. The thing about Massey and Lofton is they've got options. You know,
right.
that's the decisions are going to be made is when you start deciding what you're going to do with Hampson, what you're going to do with Frazier, because those guys are veteran guys and there's no options left there. So if you're going to try to send those guys back down, they've been around long enough that they're either going to somebody's going to claim them off waivers or something like that. That's what puts the club in a difficult position is you probably lose those guys.
Lofton didn't have any power, but he did have a .371 on base when he was up.
I think Massey can hit. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so early. I he doesn't have a track record to where you can go, he's fine.
But he's the one with upside.
But, yeah, but I would like to see them keep running him out there. You know, it's really early
But also
for him.
Lofton has upside.
Sure.
You know, and so, but you wonder, you
I'm
know,
a Massey fan. I don't know if I'm just, you know, biased, but.
I like Lofton, too. Yeah. And so you have to, does he deserve a spot on the team? Okay, and so, and again, it's such a small sample size with Massey, but the point is, someone at second base needs to hit better. All right, shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr.
Great. I mean, wonderful.
Wonderful. Third base, Mikel Garcia.
He's been better.
Hot start, went ice cold. He's been a lot more consistent. Yes. He's been very productive. He's turned things around. And he's leading, or next to Salvi, he's number two in on the team with 20 ribbies. He's shown power. He's got four homers and seven steals.
I didn't realize Salvi was leading the league in RBIs until he came in to pitch it last night. Like, wow.
And okay. Garcia needs to be more consistent, but I'm not worried.
Well, and you just want that bottom third of the lineup, somebody to contribute day in, day out. Somebody out of that group. So last night, who wasn't? Kyle Isbell.
Right.
Hit another homer. Pretty good. He's going to play good defense for you in center field.
Garcia, anyone?
No, man. We all like him.
Okay, now here's where we go kind of downhill. This is the starting outfield's OPS. Melendez, 647 OPS.
Very concerned.
Kyle Isbell, 649 OPS. Hunter Renfro, 505 OPS. Nelson Velasquez, 658 OPS. Their batting averages, and you're talking about the outfield and your DH, 186, 225, 158, 226. They're on base percentages, 263, 262, 229, 301. Slugging percentages, 384, 388, 276, 357. You are getting awful production from your entire outfield and your DH.
And it's the corner outfield spots in the DH. Like if obviously you'd love it if your center fielder is hitting like crazy too. Like if you can have Lorenzo Cain and he's hitting and playing, that's great.
You know, they hit like crazy, but have a OPS than that.
But at least you feel like Isbell's. I don't know what the defensive metrics say, but my impression of him is that he's a very he's an above average defensive center fielder. So he's taking some runs away.
It's harder to take that when the other guys aren't hitting.
Yeah, when your corner outfield's not giving you anything, those got to be run production positions.
Have to be.
And it's
and DH has to as well.
And yes, and I thought, I said I felt like the biggest X factor going into the season is going
to
be
he
how
go to Royals games. Dude, quit bringing.
You don't know that.
I don't think he's allowed in the whole complex.
Yeah. Well, oh boy.
Luckily, the complex won't be around much longer.
I bet he was voting for a downtown stadium when
he goes in disguise.
Point being is whatever you want to call it, the biggest variable for this team is does MJ Melendez take a big step forward? And maybe at the beginning of the year,
oh my God,
it looked like he was doing that, and now he is ice cold.
He did hit the ball hard last night. In his defense,
he's hitting 186 now, and his slugging percentage is below 400. It's because he doesn't bring defense, and they need production at one of those.
Does he bring power?
Well, his slugging percentage is under 400, so I don't think he's bringing power.
They want him to.
They want him to bring power.
Bring power.
Well, and I think the way he was in that early series against the White Sox got us a little fired up, and then
he got off to a good start.
He had three go-ahead hits late in the game, and I mean that's going to get you more time for sure. I mean, where else do we go? I mean, we got Drew Waters down in AAA. I mean, what are our other options? I mean, that's what we've been talking about this for a few years now. Where hopefully this year, moving forward, we've got some more depth in our organization where we have somewhere to turn to. But we don't have a ton down in Omaha. I mean, I go look at the stats down there, and they're playing pretty decent in Omaha. But Drew Waters, I mean, I don't know who else we dip down into the minor leagues to get for a spark or a day-to-day thing.
I mean, if you get close to the trade deadline and you're still contending.
Oh, boy, here we go.
You try to address it via a trade, but they've got to keep playing this type of baseball for another couple months before you can do that. But I do think it's a valid, like, the question that you're getting to, Stephen, is can they stay contending with this lineup? That's the big concern right now, is that there's not enough production at the bottom of the order slash in the corner outfield spots and DH. And maybe they can keep winning despite that because they've got a good rotation, bullpen's decent, they got enough offense at the top of the order to keep winning some games, but can you really... I don't know, man. It's hard to think you can have a good enough offense if you're not getting any run production from left field and right field.
Drew Waters is hitting .306, the .398 on base, and a .500 slug.
Nate Eaton having a good year down there too.
He had a disastrous.
I know.
Run.
That's what I'm saying, is we just don't have a ton of depth.
Right.
Well, Drew Waters is at least
right. You know, that's the next.
And if you're wondering
option.
About Nick Prado. Hitting .215 with a .330 on base, .354 slug. No. If you're wondering about Tyler Gentry, .172 with a .312 on base, .266 slug. No. Nate Eaton, like you said, is putting up good numbers at .878 OPS, but Drew Waters .898 OPS. And Drew Waters, that's your answer.
Yep.
Who do you go
to? That's your next.
Drew Waters. That's. And I'm not saying go to him now, but that's who you're watching. That's who is major league ready. That's who has a chance if he continues to produce at AAA and multiple people aren't producing at the major league level. That would be the guy you turn to.
Yep. Don't have to take somebody off the roster. He's on the roster.
So.
Soon.
What's an interesting name? Can I throw out there?
Sure.
C.J. Alexander, .931 OPS right now, 83 at bats, 5 homers, 15 ribbies.
Does he play outfield?
No, but anyone can DH.
Well, true. Yep. What do you do with Velasquez? I mean,
he can drive the outfield.
Have we seen him much in the outfield?
I don't know, but I've seen.
That's got to be same as Melendez,
right? Well, we're just talking about options here.
Alexander,
right?
Yeah.
What position does he play?
Third base.
Well, third base. You're not going to.
Move him to the outfield. We've done that before.
I'm just giving you options, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to look at me cross. Well, Jake thought that was funny.
Don't Google me.
Don't be so sore at me.
Yeah. Just because you were out there in Connecticut, you know, stepping on piss clams all.
I was eating lobsters.
I was eating lobsters.
That's your new nickname, piss clam?
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely. I talked with Jake about this. That's his new nickname for us.
Lobsters?
I did have a
phenomenal lobster roll when I was out there. The lobster landing.
Lobster roll?
Mm-hmm. Anybody remember how the Royals acquired C.J. Alexander?
Since I didn't even know what position he played, and they say, no, I didn't. I don't remember.
I got nothing.
Which, in a trade?
The Braves acquired the number 35 pick in the 2022 draft from the Royals in exchange for
Drew Waters,
yep, there you go. Andrew Hoffman, and C.J. Alexander.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do?
Hmm?
Give him a shot.
Now you want to say something?
I remember that trade just for the simple fact that that's one of the few times that you can trade a draft pick.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often. Sandwich picks, you can do that.
Does anyone else? My final point before I break, Jake. Does anyone remember who raved about C.J. Alexander when watching him in the spring?
Was that you?
No,
Jack Johnson.
Someone that actually knows what they're doing.
Jack Johnson.
Well, he does. Okay. Someone that knows more than Jack Johnson.
Scott Sharp.
J.J. Piccolo.
As George Brett signed off his in-game interview with Royals broadcasters Ryan LaFever and Jeb Montgomery, Brett brought up a name everyone should be watching this spring, C.J. Alexander. Now, see, Alexander, a first baseman who played 8 Cactus League games, was a minor league replacement for the Royals this spring. He was selected in the 20th round of the 18 draft out of State College of Florida. He was the oldest player acquired in the 3-player deal that the Royals made with the Braves for the number 35 overall pick. Da, 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 da. Brett said of Alexander, "This guy can rake. Wait until you see his swing. It's impressive." And then Alexander was getting ready to, 4 innings later, Alexander was getting ready to bat after coming into the game to replace Prado. Brett walked up to Alexander at the Royals dugout, and he said, "I just talked you up to everyone on TV. If you strike out, I'm not talking to you again." And then Alexander went up and hit a home run. So, just letting you know that he was part of that deal they made with the Braves. George Brett talked him up, and the guy's putting up good numbers at AAA. And so you have to include him into the possibilities of depth. And we get down the road further. I'm not saying now. But keep his name on your radar. Unless you don't respect George Brett. That's totally up to you, Nate. I'm not going to make you.
No, I respect
George, if you're listening, I respect everything you say about C.J. Alexander. Thank you, George. We'll take a break. Take a break. Back after this on WHB. How you doing in there, Jake?
I'm a little sore.
Tell your buddy Nate here didn't like some comments I made about LeBron in the commercial break.
I'm a little
break.
Sore.
And I'm going to say he may not have liked your tweet you made about LeBron the other day.
I saw it.
You were all pissed off, weren't you?
Guy's a joke.
Yeah, he's such a joke.
He's a flopper. I mean, that's just embarrassing to watch that. It's embarrassing.
It's a soccer fan saying that, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm not impressed with any soccer player that does that garbage either. And it's slowly moving into basketball, and it's.
I'm just gonna say this, but who am I? What do I know? If he's so concerned about legacy, it would have been better for his legacy if he just would have stayed at Cleveland. And I know, they won the fake title in the with no crowd or whatever.
Abbreviated season in the bubble.
He's done his legacy no favors with the Lakers now.
Nah, it's just basketball, Steven, you know.
Just basketball,
it's
man.
Just basketball, man. It's just basketball, what? Right, Nate?
I'm not getting baited into this, whatever.
Yeah, you are.
I mean,
do you think this is what he expected, getting beaten the first round in the playoffs?
Bite the hook.
No, I just no. So going out and going toe to toe with the best team in the NBA and being like one rebound off a triple double.
He ain't going toe to toe with the best team in the NBA. They just got beat 12 of the last 13 times. Yeah. Against that. That's not going toe to toe.
They didn't beat them all year. They got swept by them.
Did he play
in the
poorly?
Conference.
Like
no, but it's just, is it an individual game or is it a team game?
Right. So,
but to say the Lakers just went toe to toe with the Nuggets.
I'm talking about him. I'm talking about if you watch him play.
If you're putting up stats, and that's what you're worried about.
Anybody on that team that he doesn't want? I mean,
is that which team would you take? Like, which team is better?
The defending champs,
right? They got way better players.
Well, maybe if you pay more, like.
He orchestrated this whole thing, though.
And they had to play their way into the playoffs. Like, right. maybe don't be in the play-in games. Maybe.
So he'd be better if he just quit instead of still being really good at this age. We would like him better if he had quit for a second time like Jordan had by this point.
I'd like him more if he stayed in Cleveland.
I agree with that.
His career then.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's what
I said. I don't love the fact that he's bounced around chasing rings.
I said his legacy would have been, I think, better off if he stayed in Cleveland and not gone to this Lakers phase.
Yeah,
that's
didn't
what I said.
Do himself any favors with his legacy.
But I'd also think that there's moving goalposts all over the place for LeBron, because when he was in Cleveland dragging a dead carcass of a team to the finals every year, he wasn't as good as Jordan because he didn't win those finals, because Jordan never lost in the finals. When you look at the players that he had a non-playoff-level team that he got all the way to the finals, and then as soon as he left, they didn't even sniff the playoffs. And so that wasn't good enough, so then he went out and tried to find teams that he could actually have a supporting cast and win titles. He won a few. People didn't like that, so went back to Cleveland, went up against a dynasty of a team that was better than his supporting cast and lost most of the time, but won one.
Look, I'm not saying he's one of the greatest players ever to live.
Hey, I'm still
he absolutely
impressed.
Is.
At his age, to go out there and do what he does still, I watched a little bit. It's probably more than I've watched a game this year.
He's one of the greatest players to ever live.
No doubt.
But he's not the best ever. He's just not.
In your opinion?
He's going to stick around to play with his kid? Maybe get Embiid on a team, too. Maybe they go do that. That'd be fun.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, in most people's opinion.
I don't believe that this is how he thought it was going to go in L.A.
I agree with that. And I don't think he's the player that he was, but he's still freaking amazing considering his age. Yes. Like, it defies, like, I don't know how he's doing it. And maybe he's doing it unnaturally. I don't know. But I don't, like, when you say in most people's opinion, I don't know what the majority of opinions is, but there are a lot of people who know the game pretty damn well who think that LeBron's better than him. One of them comes on our show all the time and is a scout in the NBA. He has a decent idea of what a basketball player, a good basketball player is and isn't, you know?
Yeah, and also the game has changed a lot.
A lot.
A lot. And the game, you know, the toll it takes on your body is not the same as it used to be. It's just not.
Not as physical.
It's not as physical. It's just not. And that's okay.
But that's a great argument, and I don't think it'll ever end. Jordan versus LeBron. Let it go forever.
I mean,
forever.
It's a different game in many ways.
Sure. Yeah.
There are seven-footers that run the floor and shoot threes now.
Absolutely.
That didn't exist when Jordan played.
No.
You know, in some ways it's an easier game to play, in some ways it's a harder game to play.
Well, skill-wise, it's a harder game to play skill-wise. Physically, it's an easier game to play. So you can last longer. You can play into, being 38, 39 years old because it doesn't take the physical drain. And look how many seasons Jordan played every game all year.
No load management back then.
Right. That's different.
Yeah. I mean,
he also took 2 years off in the middle of his prime.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. So, I mean, but my point is he still played almost every game every season. He didn't like, I got a back-to-back. I'm not, I'm going to rest this game. You know, I imagine he probably could have gotten a couple more years out of his career if he would have done that.
Yeah, he could have gotten a couple more years out of his career if he didn't quit in the middle of it for a couple years.
He just paused.
Paused.
Yeah, keep knocking him for that. I get it. And I think it was more than him just quitting. I think there was probably some other things going on.
What?
I mean,
I enjoy seeing him on the sidelines as a NASCAR owner. That's pretty funny. Forgot that he was with that squad that won it a couple weeks ago.
It's hard for you guys, too, because I feel like you hate LeBron, and you come off like you hate Jordan. And so it's impossible for you guys to find any common ground.
I don't think the Lakers are finding any common ground. That's the fun part of it.
The thing is,
I don't like
Jordan. I rooted against him constantly.
Well, so did I.
I did not like him. My younger brother loved Jordan. Jordan Poster.
I was a Utah Jazz fan, so I didn't like him either.
Every single finals that he was in, I rooted against the Bulls.
All of them.
But then then when I step back and look at it, it's like, and just for me, I feel like anyone my age that watched Jordan and doesn't think he's the greatest of all time, I can't figure that out. But that's all. It's all personal.
Yeah, maybe it's because I sat there and watched him crush me every time. I was like, I'm rooting my ass against them. Yeah, I hope they lose, whether it was, Salt Lake, whether it was, the Blazers, all those teams. I rooted heavily against Jordan, and it had something to do with sibling rivalry. My brother wore Jordans. He had Jordan posters. I didn't like him. I was a Magic guy, That didn't go very well. When Jordan went against, Lakers.
No, I'd get so mad when the Bulls would win.
Me too. But it's like, I'm not defending Jordan because I'm a giant Michael Jordan fan.
You're more just tearing LeBron down. And that's the part that I don't like because I don't like the way people tear LeBron down.
No, I just think to compare that greatness to that greatness, it baffles me because they're not in the same level, in my opinion. They're just not. I mean,
it has to do also with,
the era.
Some people tear Jordan down for, like, you do for, what he went through. Taking shots at him for tragically losing his father, which I've always had issues with. Like, wow, that's why you want to take shots at a guy because his dad got killed?
I don't know that's why
yeah, I mean,
walked away from the game.
That's part of the
part
reason.
Of it. That was a big part of it.
On the surface,
I don't ever wade into this conversation until this happens.
I think LeBron does himself no favors because he does some goofy things that,
I think LeBron seems like a hell of a better guy than Jordan was. I do.
We're not talking about best guys.
Yeah, but here. I mean, like, when it's like saying, like, the bad things that he's done. Like, he's done some bad things for his marketing and PR stuff, but, like, the guy's lived under a bigger microscope than anybody since he was a teenager, and he's never really, like, gotten in any trouble.
I've never met either one of the guys, so I don't know who's a better guy. But when I watch him on the basketball court, I don't think they're on the same level. I don't think anybody's on Jordan's level. Ever.
Right, and so nobody can ever get on his level, right?
I mean, if it happens, I would love to see it. I would love to see someone come out.
Who's
cutthroat and a killer and just won and played all the time.
Jordan was incredible.
I'm just going to sit and watch a ping pong match from over here.
Right.
I'm just going to sit here and watch my clock destruct.
Why?
Yeah. It's all right. I can fix it.
It's all right.
Will Cole Reagan's right to ship?
I think he'll do good tonight. But as well as he's going to throw, we got to get to Berrios early. Because, man, the longer he goes, the tougher he gets. He's good. He's one of the best in the American League. I like watching him pitch, too.
Weigh in on this Jordan LeBron thing.
I mean, I grew up more in the Jordan era, too, and I was a Jazz fan, and so I was always rooting against him as well. But I also, you know, was impressed by the way he played. And then to go play baseball and know a bunch of people that he played with. I didn't play with him. I was right after, but I know a whole bunch of guys was on his Arizona Fall League team. And just how they said he was with them was great. Seemed a little bit different than how he was maybe with the general public. But when he was in the same locker room with him, when he was with the White Sox and the Arizona Fall League, fun to hear about that part of him too. And then I just impressed by how talented. I remember watching LeBron when he was a high school kid on ESPN 7 or whatever it was back then, and it was like, there's no way this guy's as good as everybody says he is, and then watched him as a high school kid like a freak, and then to have the career that he's had 20 years into it now, I mean, hell of a player. I don't know how to pick one over the other, to be 100% honest with you, so I'm not going to.
Because I think it gets the arguments end up who you like personally, and it gets away from what they do on the court.
Well, sometimes it's amazing to me how pissed off people get on both sides of it,
right,
too. I mean, that's why it's an argument. I kind of like witnessing it, but
it makes people really, like, people come, the knives come out.
They do.
Come after you.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, I feel like my buddies are all like, they get in the text thread, and it's like, if I stick up for LeBron, they come after me. Like, it's like I'm insulting a member of their family or something like that, you know?
I didn't root for either one of those players. Like, I don't root for LeBron. I want him to lose. And then when Jordan was in the finals, I wanted him to lose. And that's just, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why.
I'm the same way.
If I stand back and look at it, and if somebody asked me, okay, if you could have one player, who would you rather have? I would say Jordan. I don't know why. And I'm not going to defend it because no one's going to change my mind. And on top of that, it's this weird thing. I don't care what anyone else thinks.
Right.
Like, I don't care. Like, because I think it's Jordan. And nothing, we could sit here for 4 hours and nothing. Yeah. No, it's LeBron. No,
well,
it's
now not. You've changed my mind. Yeah.
For me, it's not.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly difficult and hard for me to say LeBron was a better player than Kobe Bryant. But I eventually said LeBron was better than Kobe. And Kobe's my all-time fan. I love Kobe. I'm the biggest Kobe guy. I love him. That was my guy.
I know bigger Kobe guys than you.
Okay. I bet there are. I'm sure there are. So I'm just talking about
you're not that big of a Kobe
in my
guy.
Fandom. That was, you know, I'm not a giant NBA fan to begin with, but I loved Kobe Bryant. I loved him.
Well, that's where I kind of followed it. I'm not a huge NBA guy to start with. I mean, I watched the Jazz back in the day because that's the first NBA basketball game I got to go to was at the Salt.
And I'm out of the business. I don't talk about who the better guy is. Because the player that I used to root for turned out to be a god awful human being, and so
That's fair enough. I don't know.
How do you know LeBron's a better guy than Jordan?
I don't. I
and
think.
How do you know that Jordan's a better guy than LeBron?
I don't.
How the hell do you guys know?
I've never met either one of them, so I can't say on their character.
How do you guys? I mean,
I don't.
You know.
I
it might be, but I don't like. I don't know.
I think it's impressive that he's lived under the microscope that he has for as long as he has, and he doesn't seem like he's ever gotten in any real trouble. You know, it doesn't seem like. It seems like if he does, it has any. It's like Mahomes. Like it's like if Mahomes has any slip up, the whole world's going to be all over. You're right. At the end of the day, none of us know anybody. I don't know anybody.
And there's also money's a great deodorant and can make things disappear finding out.
That's all fair.
I don't know.
I do feel like the last dance, Jordan kind of himself showed, I'm kind of a dick, you know?
Right.
That's part of what made him great.
But that doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Everybody's got
let me tell you something. Jake's kind of a dick, let's be honest, but I love him. He's a great guy.
Everybody's kind of a dick.
He is prickish.
Fair enough.
It happens.
Right?
All right, see you Friday.
I like you, though. Let me tell you.
I can be a
dick. You're not a
dick,
Puma.
No. I try not to be.
We'll take a break. Back at this on WHB.